Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. So if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure. Hi, my name is Richard Renahan, and I live in Massachusetts, the North Shore. Our company at Renco Corporation is in Manchester by the Sea, and we've been here for, I don't know, probably 30 years or more, 33 years, and the company's 60 years old.
Awesome.
61, we make gloves that have been on the space station and have handled moon rocks and pretty much any kind of medicine that has ever been fabricated in a laboratory or in a clean room. We've worked with semiconductor chips, Texas Instruments, IBM, the biggest companies in the world we deal with on a regular basis.
That's amazing. So can you just tell us a little bit more about your story? How did you get into this business?
The business got into me, actually. Through birth, my father patented a glove in the 60s. In 1962, it's a two-piece sleeve glove system, which you may see on our website, RencoGloves.com. And we still do that glove today, which is a long time coming. So for something to last that long is great. I bought the company in 94 over a 15-year period. It's quite painful buying out your parents and your brother, but it's well worth it because, you know, it's their legacy. It's their retirement in many instances for many small businesses in America. So we've got to perpetuate that as a country and make sure companies stay in business. Okay.
For sure. So like, I'm just curious, right? Because like when because I think that many people today that their parents might start a company, but they choose not to go into business. So what made you want to go into it? And then I guess later on actually buy it from your family.
Interesting. My father had asked me, you know, as a younger person, in fact, when I was in high school, we had a company called Kitco, K-I-T-C-O, and it was a fireman's boot repair kit because we had a full range of head-to-toe safety equipment in my father's rep group, which was all East Coast sales for safety equipment. But there was still the patented range of long gloves, okay, that are used for manufacturing pharmaceuticals in most cases, or that are in every lab at MIT where they don't want to touch what's inside. These gloves are manufactured at our factory in New Hampshire, in Colebrook, New Hampshire. Wow. So that's the high end stuff. So when you're in a family business, you know, dad says, hey, he didn't even offer it. He said, what do you want to do with your life? He says, if you get into sales, sell something you love. And I love everything. So I just said, all right, what about helicopters? That sounded cool. And I didn't get into helicopters at all. What I did instead is I moved to Spain because I like international business. And I just traded various things from bicycles to blue jeans to, I can remember offering cans of tuna and salmon to Corte Inglés in Spain and riding mountain bikes to my sales calls in Madrid. And then eventually when my parents came to visit, they said, it may be time for you to come home, Rich. Dad's working the business. He's working a little too hard. And I did come home, worked for about 3 years. And I had gloves in my hand in Spain, going to glove factories. But so it was around 89 and then 90, I came back for weddings and whatnot. And then I jumped in and it was my brother, my sister, my father, a few other associates in the business. But in 94, it was retirement time and it was time to buy him out. So we just made him a good deal.
Yeah. Makes sense. So in terms of the business today, can you just talk more about, like you mentioned a couple examples, but in terms of, you know, when people are buying your products, right, are they buying, it's all B2B, or do you have like a direct-to-consumer channel for smaller companies? You know, what does that look like in terms of, you know, who you deal with and different use cases?
B2B is our number one methodology. There's very little end user impact. These are gloves that are made in New Hampshire as well. So we purchased a factory in 2018 to vertically integrate so we could make the sleeves, the gloves, and also to help a friend of mine who was in the business, and it was just time to do that. So to answer your question, B2B is number one. We do it through websites and being known for 60 years and having an established base not huge volume to start. In that time frame, it wasn't a lot. It was lower volume, less than 5 million in revenues. Around COVID time, we ended up realizing that we're on the hottest commodity in the world. China called up and said, hey, we want to buy all your capacity. And I said, no. And the first call I made was to Defense Logistics Agency and told my associates there who want me to make gloves in America. I said, hey, China's looking to buy all our capacity. And that got me into a network of White House COVID response team with various other people as such as Pentagon, congressional hearings, whatnot. And they offered, you know, for us to get expansion capital. So we took it. Not always a good thing to do. You know, sometimes you got to learn to say no as a business person. I'm not good at that. I'd say yes to everybody virtually. And that becomes a problem because maybe you overcommit sometimes. But we built the expansion. We ended up on NBC Nightly News. And we put up a massive factory, doubled our capacity from 100,000 square feet, which is huge, to 200,000 of brand new space to build these types of exam gloves. And as you remember, in COVID, people were wearing, including myself, were wearing these to the grocery store.
Right.
So
yeah.
It shot up. And just as soon as it shot up, the world expanded capacity. I'm talking the world of glove making, which is Malaysia, China, Thailand, Indonesia, and Vietnam, boom. And then the government said, oh, we got to do this too. So they pumped money into my company and to a few others, none of whom are doing great right now. It just didn't work because our policies in America are very poor. We're not doing the right thing. We're letting in cheap Chinese and Malaysian gloves, which is okay if it's cheap, but it's subsidized cheap. And they're coming in at a third of our cost in America and a normal cost with normal working conditions. Six Malaysia, oops, I don't want to talk poorly about anybody, but there were a lot of factories shut down because of unfair labor practices, not necessarily child labor. And that's only what you can measure outside of China. China's not going to open the door to Customs and Border Protection to allow people like FDA to inspect factories. It's just not happening.
Right.
So be careful of where we buy from. I hope that helps. There's a good
story.
We got additional capital to build more expansion capacity. We built as much as we could and then ran out of money. Government said nope. And then the market tanked because they let in, instead of 10% of China's market share, it went up to 41%. So they're aggressively dumping product below cost, which we know because we're glovers. And it's just not fair. So we're rebuilding, we're retooling. And interestingly enough, today, I've just been working on Defense Logistics Agency bids and proposals so that we have a warm industrial base and reshore manufacturing.
Makes sense. No, I think that's awesome. Yeah, I feel like, you know, like it's awesome what you're doing because 100%, I think people need to understand the importance for various reasons of making products here in the U.S., you know, and I think COVID was a big example of that because we were just relying on China and it's not good to rely on other countries, right? I mean, it's very awesome to see what you're doing. And I was just curious, as of today, what would you say is the biggest challenge you face in your business?
Sales, all right? Because there's a lot of existing big companies that have majorly funded lobbyists in DC that structure this procurement system, all right? And even the tax base, there should be tariffs on a limited basis on certain products so that it's not coming in at a third of my cost, maybe two thirds of our cost, because even the big players, the big GPOs, group purchasing organizations that manage many, many hospital distribution chains, they tell us, sure, they would pay an extra 30 to 40, 50% more for an American made product as long as they knew it would sustain them through a war. We've got two wars going on now that we know about, and others even in Africa that aren't even reported that are terrible.
Right.
So I thought we were over that. We all should be as soon as we can. We're passionate about that, but it's real, and we have to be ready. And that's why DOD stands up strong and backs up HHS to buy American. So there's a new law. It's called Make PPE in America Act. There's also an older law called Buy America Act and another called Berry Compliance. They all mandate made in USA and everyone gets waivers and they keep bringing the product in from abroad. Okay.
Right.
It's not healthy right now. Those are challenges. Sales we got to get people to commit. Someone told me today they're ready to give us a rather massive purchase order of long-term sustainability, because we support jobs in rural parts of America, particularly Vermont, Maine, New Hampshire, and here in Massachusetts as well. So and then those gloves go everywhere. They go all over the world too, especially these long ones that we make, okay?
Right.
Very interesting. Nitrile and neoprene, natural rubber. Natural's from the tree, and much of it has been desensitized, so it's not as big a deal. Sure, people have latex sensitivities. We got to be cautious of that, but many of the manufacturers of the raw materials have eliminated some of that risk. And there's other ones too. We work with exotic polymers like Viton and Hypalon and Butyl as well at Renko. So
that helps
a little bit.
Yeah, I was just curious, right? So obviously there's the whole price comparison, but in terms of quality, how does your quality differentiate from your competitors in China or Malaysia, for example?
It's they're good. I will tell you, when I agreed to put up capacity and new dip lines for the USA and for our company, this is a small glove. We'll see if we can get it on. But this is one of our nitrile gloves, fentanyl resistant, tough as nails, not literally, but very tough and soft, doesn't cramp the hands.
Yeah.
We're thicker, we are higher quality. There's no two ways about it. People love it.
That's what I figured. Yeah.
Yep. Not only that, you can also sanitize them. You know, you don't have to take your gloves off every time. So again, you've got fentanyl resistance, you've got sanitizability, if you will. We've built in antimicrobials to our gloves, and now we're doing greener things, such as we will be adding biodegradability to these types of gloves. Now, a lot of them have to be incinerated, okay? Just reality with medical waste. So that's a factor that the world has to deal with, but we're addressing it because they're used for so many other things. 120 billion gloves a year is the low estimate of what we import, because we import 98-99%. So there's room for a manufacturing base to be established. We just need companies to commit and know they can buy from Renko and buy a U.S. made glove that supports U.S. jobs. Okay.
Yeah, I was just curious. So, like, in terms of direct to consumer, you mentioned that you're not really doing much of that. Is there like a specific reason why you haven't explored that channel?
I would say no, just that it's harder to manage. It's a little bit more, it's probably going to get easier. You know, Amazon, they called me for gloves, as did McDonald's and every other major corporation during COVID. And then once they find out where the factory is in Malaysia, they go around you. There's a lot of that. And there was so much fraud during that period. It was horrendous. Plus, smaller case orders are more difficult to handle and manage when you're looking at a big factory running millions and millions and tens and hundreds of millions of gloves a year. Okay, so that's the reasoning.
But do you sell through, for example, to distributors who might be selling in smaller quantities?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, our distributors might be Thermo Fisher Scientific, one of the biggest, most important laboratory products companies in the world, might be someone like McMaster Carr, probably the thickest, beautiful catalog of products for manufacturing. Might be Grainger, for example. Those are good ones. Fastenal, Airgas, Aldrich, Sigma Aldrich Chemical. Those are beautiful customers. For anyone can have them, but they all should come to us because we have really cool products. Not only these, but I mean, we've done everything from finger cots. They're little sheets for the fingers. I kind of look around or where they might be, but they're around here somewhere because I've got this wonderful office. We've got bottle toppers for covering the bottle tops of wine bottles that are unused, and many other sheaths, covers, coatings made of synthetic polymers. This is a latex, a water-based polymer, okay? They're manufactured on something like this, which is a mandrel that was made in America. We no longer make these in America either. So I built my factory to have that capability. We have natural gas tied in for the high heat to enable us to fabricate these in case we need to. For now, the market's not there. I'm not jumping in again unless we get long-term commitments from our government and from our clients, which is coming around the corner. It's just taking a little bit of a longer time, okay?
For sure. So
another challenge is finance too. Getting people invest in us is coming around. I just went 3 weeks ago. I did go to the Senate and met with various people to promote U.S.-made product. And they're coming around. I literally sat at tables with two senators in front of me with a few of my colleagues, and we said, hey, this is what we need to do in America, because you're going to use it. You know, it's used and it's disposed of or reused. And we have to make the case for that and start to embrace it. Okay.
100%. So what would you say is your top priority in the next few months as we finish up this year and go into 2024?
I would say top priority one, obtain the right financial backer for Renco Corporation and American Performance Polymers. Finance is huge. And if people are spending money on apps, they shouldn't be. You should spend money on critical medical devices. The mask industry, they were also heavily funded during COVID. Virtually almost none of them have survived. So there's big ones, you know, like 3M. That was a rocky road. Experiencing all these supply chain issues. So we want to fortify that. I do sit on a board, a FEMA board, IBX, our industrial base expansion. I interface with pretty much anyone who will call for inquiries, expertise on gloves, polymers, chemicals, clean room, ultra pure, sterile, finance, 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 sales, sales, sales. Those are the top.
Awesome. So what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you got into this business?
That finance would be such a tough thing. I mean, there should be a network. This should be something where you can call someone and just say, you know, support this. And also, I envision what we're doing as a country, reestablishing an industrial base and an industrial policy. And I will say to President Biden's attribute, Monday, he convened a meeting on supply chain resilience, and they're addressing that. That was nice. The interesting thing is we received funding from the previous Trump administration first, and then it was upped additionally for our Texas project, which will be about 4 billion gloves per year. And they funded some of that. We completed to the best of our ability. And you can't depend on the government doing everything at this point, nor should you or us. We got to depend on a network of, I almost think of a big brother. I was a big brother, and it should be an industrial big brother. So Thermo Fisher should come to my company and buy everything, or Uncle Sam, our country, should buy 60% of my output so I can keep it going and keep 300 jobs in the district instead of having to lay off anybody. So it comes down to industrial policy and even human sensibility, housing. We met with the senators about housing, about childcare, all the beautiful things that the company factories provide. So help us get back to that through this.
Makes sense. So when you say funding, just to be clear, it's more of just government funding to buy product, right? It's not like when you talk about funding, it's not like, you know, raising money per se. It's more just funding these initiatives to essentially dictate for companies to buy here in the States.
No, I think it's both. It's these are gloves that are actually designed ultra thick for like Boeing, all right?
Right.
For one big helicopter factory. Really, right. And for working in a chamber, if you will. I wish I had one of the gloves here right now. I don't see it right here, but we have long sleeve glove systems that my father patented, and they're awesome. So point is, this is a black one that we do at our factory. Can you ask your question again?
So like, I was just curious, like when you say funding, right? You're like,
it's Wall Street. Yeah, thank you. It's Wall Street. They should get behind this because they're going to be used and disposed of forever. Right. You're going to need gloves to go to Mars. You're going to need entire suits to go to Mars. And they're going to be made out of things like this, out of advanced polymers with microchips built in and heating elements and everything. So we do think future. I've got a natural gas tap up there right next to the factory that is, we're thinking of hydrogen and different types of ways of powering our high energy needs. We got to have high heat to cure these. So funding is essential from the purchase orders too. That's an interesting thing too. Got to have people buy in to buying a market. Okay.
Makes sense. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for the business?
Famously, I would say, you know, we have a group that's trying to fund us right now for equity. If they come with the money, they get some equity. And it's that simple. If someone makes us that offer, the company could grow to $300 million in revenues by 18 months. So by 1 year, it should be 30 to 40 million. And by 18 months or 2 years, it should be 200 to 300 M. And it's literally that much because there's so many produced and consumed in America. It's massive. And that's good for us as glovers for 60 years. Other people jumped in and some are swimming around and barely surviving or not at all. So be careful. It's very complex. I think it's as complex as most anything because it involves chemistry, moisture, water, air, everything that can contaminate a factory, you know, or, you know, steel. You got to have the right kind of steel and coatings and such. So very interesting. Right. Good questions, though, for sure. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also, like, as you mentioned, right, like, you have the industry knowledge, but it's important to be on top of the trends because they're always changing. You were talking about, like, the future. Yeah, it's important. Like, you're pivoting and adjusting for different types of products, and those things are really important.
Yes, which is very cool. The different products are really the fun part of the company. Let me see if there's anything else I can show you around here because it's fun to see things.
Sure, yeah.
And that's what I do with these calls. I would say we're innovating. The biodegradability is big on our plate. The antimicrobials, the clean room, these are expensive things that require finance, but they will always be needed. And even if you imagine a robot, well, he's going to need a glove too. True?
For sure. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Exactly. So, and that's awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your company website or social media? I guess, like, best ways to get in contact with you.
Yeah. Let me just see if there's anything else.
Sure. Yeah. If you have anything else, feel free to show us.
It's RencoGloves.com. That's easy enough. Renco is, again, 60 years old, American Performance Polymers. This is a coated glove, all right? And we may do that. We're coating socks, all right, with rubber. This is an anti-seed glove. This is for anti-contamination for the nuclear industry. And we're also doing these green nitrile, which are similar to the white auto fuel gloves for the military. So we're there moving products forward. www is RencoGloves.com. And I'm Richard Renahan, R-E-N-E-H-A-N, RichRen@RencoGloves.com. Maybe I shouldn't give that out, but I'm wide open. I will take a call from anybody. Today, I worked on a special project, a covering for a device, if you will. We're working on other special projects. So it's an FDA-registered facility. It's in an opportunity zone. It's in a hub zone and a foreign trade zone. And the other nice thing about our factory is we can make a lot of different unique things as long as that balloons. You should see our balloons that we've made as big as, you know, 4 feet in diameter. They're huge. So, and even tiny ones too. Okay. Finger cuts. So Renco Gloves, at Renco
awesome.
Gloves. What else? Can you tell me anything else or what else would you
no,
like
yeah,
to see?
I mean, I think that's it. Yeah, I think that's good. I mean, listen, we're rooting for you. Hopefully you can secure that funding as soon as possible and you have a very good
sure.
year next year. And yeah, I mean, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, and make sure you do come back to visit and maybe we'll show you the factory.
Sounds
that
good. Awesome. Yeah, that'll be cool. Awesome.
The
thank you.
Lines. You'll see a few pictures here and there. And thank you again for your time.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Grow America. Buy America. Thank you.
Of course. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.